the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. You know, if you grew up in a rural church like I did, then you're familiar with the way the prayer chain works. So what happens often is that little old lady will walk up and say, you know, I've got something that's on my heart that I want you to pray about. Now, I don't know if this is true, but I heard that Todd and Melba were having marriage problems. And so I don't repeat that to anybody else. I just want you to pray about it. And that works its way through the prayer chain, which is a really godly way to, well, gossip. Now, one of the things I'm concerned about right now is that that same kind of thing is taking place on the internet, except with a worldwide presence. Now, you still have the gossip who can attract a crowd, but this time it's often a guy sitting in a Starbucks with a laptop who can put rumors up on the internet and can attract all kinds of people to see what today's dirt is. And really, that points to a bigger issue, which is the internet itself. There's some news today that we're going to be talking about a little bit later about Google being restricted in China. Actually, Google collaborating, it seems, with the Chinese government on restricting information. There are ways in which the internet can be a powerful force for getting information out there, for getting the gospel out there, getting it places where it would not ordinarily be. But there's also the downside, and that's what I want to talk to you about. How do you make sure that you're a Christian on the internet? Now, I'm not just talking about spreading gossip and spreading urban legends, although that is something that is a serious issue for all Christians who are engaged in the internet, but also parents. What I want to know from you is, how do you monitor what's going on with your kids? And I'm not just talking about porn. I'm talking about instant messaging. I'm talking about email. I'm talking about surfing the net. How do you teach children to be good stewards of internet time? And how do we as churches really deal with the phenomenon of the internet, which you have so many people in chat rooms? You actually have people, church discipline cases these days, for people who are having affairs in chat rooms with people they have never met. They've never met one another. You also have people announcing, we're engaged and we met over the internet, or we met in some type of an internet dating service or something like this. How do we as churches maintain community when we have an internet age? I'd like to hear from some of you who are raising children in an internet age, especially those of you who are raising children who know far more about the technology of the internet than you do. How do you teach them to be disciplined when it comes to the use of the internet? I'd like to hear from you at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How can we be Christians in an internet age? Before we get there, some big news today. As most of you already know, Hamas is the victor in the Palestinian elections, and that is not good news. Hamas is a notorious terrorist outfit, and they have proven to be quite popular among the Palestinians. Quite a bit of unrest today. How is that going to affect the peace process in the Middle East? How is this going to affect the security of Israel? I really think there are even more significant issues right now, such as the entire question of a Palestinian state. If there is a Palestinian state, what kind of a state will it be? Will it be a state that is run by thugs? That's a very real question today that many people are asking all over the country. And it's going to take some time to figure this one out. Also have today some more announcements about Judge Alito. Two more Democrats have come out in favor of Alito. Tim Johnson of South Dakota and Robert Byrd of West Virginia both said they're going to vote for the confirmation of Samuel Alito, which means it certainly looks like he will be joining the Supreme Court very soon. And down in New Orleans, you have Ray Nagin, who is now speaking even more about his claim that he wants to see New Orleans a chocolate city once again. Mayor Nagin says he just doesn't know what was wrong with what he said. Well, Could it have been the race baiting, Mayor Nagin? Or maybe it was the fact that you said that God was mad at black people and that God was mad at New Orleans? That might have been the problem behind what you said. And, of course, the citizens of New Orleans are going to be voting on Mayor Nagin now in April, as Governor Blanco has rescheduled those elections. So we'll be seeing exactly what the citizens of New Orleans think about the future and the direction of the city. The Internet. It is something that I don't think our grandparents could have even imagined. Well, I don't think our grandparents understand in many cases right now how it works. And yet we have children, and some of you have grandchildren, who are on the Internet all the time. Some of them are doing their homework and they're researching all kinds of information. And sometimes I think the danger is that Christians believe that our only moral issue with the Internet is pornography. Let's make sure that we're not looking at porn. But in reality, we know that that's not all that there is to the Christian moral life. We don't say, as long as I'm not an adulterer, I'm a good Christian. No, we try to make sure that we take captive every thought for Jesus Christ. There's a report that came out this week talking about how much time has been lost during the average workday from people who are going through blogs and commenting on blogs. And sometimes you'll notice people's blogs in which people are spending 40, 50, 60 hours a week on these things, and you wonder, how are you eating? And the same thing is true when you just see the way that we've kind of depersonalized relationships through email, through instant messaging. How do we get a hold of this thing? How do you, as parents, teach your children to use the Internet and to use it like a Christian? How do you, as pastors and as leaders in your churches, make sure that your people see the Internet as a tool and not as a master? Some of you just slavishly are enslaved to your email. How do you get a hold of that? I'd like to hear from you. Give me a call at 877-893-8255. And then there's the issue of gossip. The Internet can be a place where any manner of untruth, any manner of rumor can be spread instantly worldwide. How do we as Christians hold one another accountable for what we not just say in our face-to-face interactions, but what we write on the Internet? You know, I am so glad that I did not have a blog when I was in high school or in college. I can just imagine all of the things that I might have written, that I might have put out there, that would still be in somebody's Google cache somewhere. That's a heavy, heavy responsibility. And now you have people simply writing, I had Fruity Pebbles for breakfast this morning, and by the way, I've heard the latest rumor about my pastor. That's a serious problem. How do we get a hold of that as Christians? Give me a call at 877-893-8255. And porn is a very real concern. How do you, as parents, make sure that you're protecting the moral purity of your children or of yourselves in an era when you can almost bypass just about any kind of program that's out there? Especially tech-savvy teenagers can bypass just about every program that's out there. So what do you do? How do you make sure that that is not happening in your home? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and we will discuss this issue. Right now, we have the issue of Google. Google.com, almost everybody who uses the Internet uses Google. I use it probably 5,000 times a day finding information. Congressman Christopher Smith of New Jersey is charging Google with being really in collusion with the dictators of China. Because what Google is doing is allowing its program to be dictated to by the Chinese government in certain instances, so that someone who, for instance, puts in Tiananmen Square is going to be directed to a government site condemning Tiananmen Square. Now, the reason why the Chinese government is so concerned about this is because they know that if you've got information coming in from the Western world on the Internet, you're going to be able to change minds. I mean, that's the reason why a lot of American popular culture is everywhere behind the bamboo curtain right now, because you've got an Internet. Chinese government says we want to stop that flow of information. Sometimes information can liberate. Sometimes information can destroy. And sometimes the kinds of information that we're getting from the internet really can make us very shallow people, can make us very craven people, can turn us into something shadowy, something less than Christian. If you're sitting behind a computer screen all of the time emailing one another rather than talking and living, that has serious consequences. I want to know how you deal with it. How do you make sure that you're not just another internet lonely person, but you're a Christian in an internet age? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. You have one of those internet screen suntans. You've been sitting in front of the computer screen so long that you're just wasting away. Well, this is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler today. This is the Albert Mohler Program, and we're talking about how to be a Christian on the internet. And that's what I want to know from you. How do you guard your heart and guard your lives and those of your children in an internet era? And I'm not just talking about porn. I'm talking about instead the temptation to use the internet to kind of depersonalize so that you can find a spouse on a Facebook. You can have a conversation in a chat room. You can deal with one another through email. Then you can spread gossip through your blog. Then you can brag and boast on someone else's blog. All kinds of temptations there of an internet age. It's difficult to know how to do it. What I want to know is, how do you make sure in your churches and your families that we're even thinking about these things in an internet era? We have Eric in San Francisco, California, who is listening on XM Radio. Eric, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hey, thank you very much.
Good to have you with us. What's your thought today?
My thought is a couple, and I'll keep it brief. One is monitoring. Two is setting limits, whether it's for your kids and for yourself, because you need to be accountable.
Okay.
And whether it's setting up some type of, a site that monitors you and for everything. And two, have a relationship with your kids so you're not using this thing as a babysitter. We're getting away from the television as a babysitter and using the internet as a babysitter now.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good point, Eric. There are a lot of parents who are sitting their children down in front of computer programs and saying, you know, this is something that's educational. One of the things one of my kids got this Leapster from LeapPad thing for Christmas. I don't even know how to describe it. It's a little computer game. It's supposedly educational. I finally took the thing away and said, I don't like looking at my four-year-old son sitting with this electronic device in this kind of a trance. When I say his name, I have to say it three times before he hears it. And that's when I said, you know, the Leapster is gone. We're putting the Leapster away. We're just going to have a day of withdrawal. I think there are a lot of parents who do that with the internet in the same way that they do it with the television. And so you've got little Johnny sitting there IMing with all of his friends. That's something that parents need to think about. Not just is little Johnny sitting there looking at the Girls Gone Wild site, is little Johnny just wasting his life? Is he not doing what he ought to be doing outside playing with the neighborhood kids? That's a significant issue, and I think too few of us are thinking about it. What about you? How do you make sure that you keep a real focus in your own homes and churches on being Christian and guarding your heart in the internet? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have Susan on the line calling from Ogden, Iowa. Susan, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great. What's your
Good.
Thought today?
I just happened to tune in, and I caught you talking about how do you, you know, kind of like screen the kids from being on the internet and catching the porn.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And first of all, I think it starts with the parents, because with my ex-husband, I would turn on the computer and porn sites would just suddenly pop up, and I'm going, what the heck?
Yeah.
And I found out after, you know, really checking into it, that he was surfing the sites when we were all gone.
Uh-huh.
And needless to say, once you get caught in one, it's almost like you can't get out of them.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a maze sometimes to get out of them. But anyway, and then I found out he was onto some kiddie porn sites, and that really did it. That was where our marriage ended.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, now I'm into my next marriage, and I absolutely love this man, but now I've caught him when, you know, when I've gone to work, I've caught him on the porn sites, you know, while I'm gone.
Yeah. Well, Susan, I think what has to happen in that situation, and you're right, I mean, pornography, I think, is a temptation for every man. I'm sure there might be some men out there who are not susceptible to pornography. I don't know who they are. I think every man has to be careful about pornography, and you're right. It's something that can just, it can deceive people into it, and then once they're in, they're there for a long, long time. I think what has to happen in terms of internet pornography is not simply controls, and that's what, you know, we're always going to have people who are going to say, make sure that you have accountability sites, and make sure that you have covenant eyes, and make sure that you have this, that, and all those things are great, and I'm for that, but that's not enough. You have to instead deal with the reasons why it is that this is a problem in the marriage and in the home. And I think that that means that you're going to have to hold your husband accountable in a one flesh union sense as to why it is that he would rather run away from intimacy with you and run toward a computer screen. And I think that calls for you coming to your husband and saying, I think that you need to repent. And a lot of times that means that you're going to have to say, we're going to have to hold you accountable before the church. I'd like for us to go and talk to our pastor and work this out in that way. It's not something that most people can just say, okay, I'm just going to quit this now. Instead, this is someone realizing I am really falling into what is a trap. We have Teresa on the line calling from Fillmore, Indiana, listening on XM. Teresa, welcome to the Albert Mohler program.
Thank you. I just wanted to share my experience with my middle schooler. I put spyware on the computer that runs in a stealth mode.
Uh-huh.
And what was going on in that instant messaging was just eye-opening and amazing.
Oh, really?
Oh, and it's pervasive. He's in a public school, but we're Christians, but you know, the way the girls talk to the boys and the language, they would never do that if they were face-to-face.
Well, that's an important point, Teresa. I think that instant messaging does give you just enough anonymity that one feels as though he can say whatever he wants. And I mean, I've had many parents tell me almost exactly what you've just said. They think because we're making sure there's no porn there, all we have are instant messaging. They think it's just, you know, the equivalent of talking on the telephone. And then they find out there are some really dangerous things going on in instant messaging. Not only in terms of vulgarity, but also just in terms of the ways in which sinful teenagers will use the internet to tear one another to pieces, to tear one another down. It becomes a place for clicks. It becomes a place for gossip. It becomes a place for every manner of destructive disorder that exists in real life. You put it on the internet and suddenly you're even bolder to do it. I think you're exactly right, Teresa, that there's a boldness there that we ought to be aware of, that we ought to be a little bit scared of when it comes to the internet. What do you think? How do you keep your children from getting involved in instant messaging situations that can really be destructive of a Christian heart? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And how do you make sure, as you're using the internet as a tool, that you don't become a computer guy or a computer girl? Someone who is so disconnected from real life that you'd rather email someone than talk to him. There's a lot of people like that. And it's kind of safe to be that way. But isn't it dangerous to be that way? The Apostle John, when he is writing his letter to the churches, says, you know, I have other things to say to you, but I want to say them to you face to face, not with pen and ink. Can we become so focused on our computers that we forget what it means to be in Christ? And how do we avoid that? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Being a Christian in an internet age. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get on the line, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com and email your questions and comments. Here again is your guest host, Dr. Russell Moore.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and today we're talking about the Internet and really some of the unique temptations that are available on the Internet. And I'm not just talking about porn. As we know, the evil one has a variety of ways to sink his hooks into us, and the Internet happens to be a useful tool to do that. The Internet can do everything from bring out slothfulness in us, so that you have people who are just simply looking at the Internet day and night. It can create lust within us. It can pull out of us greed. You have some people who have problems shopping all day long on the Internet or spending too much money on the Internet, and it can bring out gossip, self-destructiveness in us, and it can also turn us away from community, away from intimacy. We had a caller a few moments ago who couldn't hang on, Dan, who is calling from Holland, Michigan, and one of the things that he's concerned about is the way that blogging and email can just do away with basic courtesy. And, you know, I think he's right about that. I have noticed that people will say things in email that they will never say face-to-face, and they will say it in a way that they would never say face-to-face. Part of that has to do with how instant email is. If you're gonna get in the car and drive over to Charlie's house to scream at him, usually you have a little bit of time to think about what you're doing between when you leave and when you get there. If you're gonna write out a letter attacking someone, you have to sit and put it in an envelope and mail it. But if you send off an email, a lot of times you have already vented, you have already said everything you need to say, and it is hit send, it's there, and you think, should I have done that? Or you can just post it on your blog. You can say anything you want to. By the way, I heard that this is true. It might not be true. One of the things that I found with bloggers, too, is that you can blog any number of hateful things in a way that makes you look humble. And it makes you look as though, well, I'm just trying to create a conversation. I'm just trying to involve people in the conversation that we're having here today. I'm just trying to be a voice out there in the wilderness. I'm a martyr blogger. How do we use the Internet as a tool without being destroyed by it? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And we have Dan on the line, listening on WHCB in Chilhally, Virginia. Dan, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Whoa, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. What's your thought today?
Well, my comment is that, you know, if you're having trouble with pornography on the Internet, things of that nature, now, the best thing to do is just take it out.
Take the cold computer out.
That's right. Take it out of your house. I mean, it's better to, like God said, it's better to enter the kingdom without an eye or a limb than it is not to enter in, you know. And there's so many things on the Internet that you can be tempted in. And it's best to, if you're tempted in that way, just to leave it alone.
Well, entering the kingdom without an eye or an arm is far more drastic than entering it without a computer. I think, Dan, you're on to something here. There are some people who are facing temptation, and I'm not beating up on the people who are struggling with pornography right now. People who are struggling with any number of things on the Internet. There are some gossips out there who need to be held accountable for the way in which they're using the Internet, and a lot of times, Dan's exactly right. Get rid of the computer. Take the computer out of the house. Don't fool with it. Don't have it if you can't handle the temptation there. And I would say the same thing about the television. I would say the same thing about any number of things. Some people have to say, you know what, I really can't have a refrigerator in my house. Somebody who says, I have such a temptation toward gluttony that I just need to eat prepared food out, well, then have at it. If that's what you need to get a hold of this, then do it. My problem are with people who will say, I'm really struggling with gossip on the Internet, or I'm really struggling with Internet porn, or I'm really struggling with any number of things, but they still have the computer there. They're not willing to deal with it, even if it means something I started to say drastic, but it's really not all that drastic not to have a computer in the house. Our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents and all the way back to Adam lived without computers, and maybe some of us need to do the same thing. What do you think? How do you guard your heart in an Internet era? Give me a call at 877-893-8255. Some of your parents saying, you know, I don't really know what's going on with my children when they're on the Internet. I know they're not looking at porn, but I don't know what they're talking about when they're IMing. I don't know what kind of information they're getting. How do you guard that? Give me a call at 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. We're talking about the Internet. How do you make sure that you use the Internet as a tool without letting the Internet use you to bring out some sinful patterns and behaviors? One of the things also that's out there on the Internet that I've had to think about this week is just all of the medical information that's out there. And so you have people who are prone to anxiety, prone toward being hypochondriacs. They start having some symptoms. They go on the Internet. Oh, no, I have terminal cancer, you know. And there are doctors that have to deal with this on a regular basis saying, why don't you let me diagnose you instead of letting the WebMD diagnose you? Anxiety can be something that can be furthered along by the Internet, especially when you've got round-the-clock cable news in addition to round-the-clock Internet news, and it's always terrible. People who are naturally anxious can just be thrown right into that very, very easily. We have Jeff on the line calling from Johnson City, Tennessee, listening on WHCB. Jeff, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. What's your thought today?
Well, basically, I'm kind of like the last caller. I had been online for about 3 or 4 years, and I'm married and have kids and was going through chat rooms and had girlfriends online, of course, behind my wife's back, and, was looking at pornography. You name it, I was doing it. And it got to the point that, my sin caught up with me, and I got the conviction in my heart that I just had to quit doing it.
Now, Jeff, can you explain to me, I understand the pornography, but why were you looking for these girlfriends online?
Well, basically, it's more of a mental thing. It's nothing really sexual. They can just build you up and make you feel special. When maybe your wife just is in a bad mood or have kids and things happen.
Sure.
And, you get tired.
Okay. Yeah. So how did you get out of this?
Well, I still have the Internet.
Uh-huh.
Finally, I just quit going online. It got to be such a hassle, and it was hurting me so much that I just finally had to just quit going on.
Okay.
Of course, I'd gotten in church and had really turned my life around, and of course, that helped me out a lot.
Yeah.
And glory to God that He helped me do that.
Now, did you talk to your wife about this? Did you then let her know what was going on?
Actually, no, I have not talked to her as of yet.
Yeah. I'd encourage you to do that, Jeff. I mean, I think that, the Bible says that your wife, in a very real sense, owns your body. And so when you were sinning, you were sinning against her. This is something I think that you need to confess to her. I was sinning against you, and to seek her forgiveness and seek her reconciliation. And frankly, Jeff, I think that part of the problem, one of the reasons why you were preferring these just amorphous Internet women out there is because you don't have to face them. They're not real women like your wife is. And I think you need to establish accountability and intimacy with your wife. And one of the ways I think you need to do that is by being honest with her. I'd encourage you to talk to her and to get that right. Otherwise, you're going to continue to have the same kinds of problems that led you to the Internet in the first place. We have Charlie on the line calling from Tampa, Florida. Charlie, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hello.
Hello. What's your thought today, Charlie?
Yes, my thought was the internet, if you've heard it on the internet, oh, it must be true.
Yeah.
And another large place for families to get swallowed up in. I've had problems with just that kind of thing in my own family, my own self, and some of the things that I've done is I've moved my computer out into my living room. And just like anything else, if I can't do it out where my wife and my kids can see me doing it, then mm-hmm. I guess, you know, I shouldn't be doing it at all.
Yeah.
That's one of the stopgaps that I've kind of put in place. And my kids, I don't let them go online behind closed doors.
Yeah.
Because that's absolutely the wrong thing to do.
Well, now you said sometimes it's the issue of if you read it on the internet, it must be true. Where were you finding that problem arising?
Well, I was just kind of making a broad general statement that people believe more times than not I've seen something and said, oh, that might be true or not, you know, and you check things out and you find out it's a hoax or something or those kind of things. So sarcastically, if I've seen it on the internet, it must be true. It's usually not the case.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's the case. You think of, for instance, the Drudge Report. I check the Drudge Report all the time, and there's always really helpful links there. But every once in a while, he comes up with a blaring headline that is just false. And it looks like, when you see it there, that he has some type of inside information. I remember in the summer of 2004, when Dr. Mohler was in Europe, it was during the summer, and Drudge broke the story that John Kerry was about to ask Hillary Clinton to be his running mate. And I remember thinking, that makes no sense at all in terms of electoral politics. But I called Dr. Mohler in Europe and said, well, Drudge is breaking the story that Hillary Clinton is the vice presidential nominee for the Democratic Party. And we both just kind of scratched our heads for a while until we found out it's just not true. On the other hand, this guy has had information ahead of the curve that has been exactly right. Take some discernment. But the main thing I'm concerned about in terms of the internet is not so much the big national stories that we believe. It's the ways in which we can use the internet to poke at one another, to tear at one another, to bite at one another. I mean, the admonitions that the Apostle Paul gives to the Galatian church in Galatians chapter 5, for instance, these are every bit as real right now, and they are, as a matter of fact, heightened when it comes to the internet. So how do you make sure that the internet is your tool and you're not being used by the internet? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. For some of you, it just has to be, I'm kind of scheduling when I'm checking my email so that every time that little ding dings on the computer, I'm not slavishly turning around and checking it. And, you know, frankly, if I hear the little signal ding, I want to see who's emailing me. I've got a BlackBerry that sometimes, I'll confess to you, I keep next to the bed. And when I wake up in the night, I'm checking the BlackBerry just to make sure I'm not disconnected. My wife doesn't like that very much. I don't know why, but she thinks it's a little obsessive. Maybe so. What do you think? How can you become a Christian, keep being a Christian, be a good Christian, while you're using the internet as a tool? Give me a call at 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. An internet age. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. It's the Albert Mohler Program. I sent an email to an older couple one time, and I remember the wife was very upset because she thought that I had put her name on the World Wide Web on the internet because she didn't recognize that email could just come specifically to them. But there are very few people who have that confusion anymore. Most people are using the internet. I have 84-year-old grandparents who email. And I think many of us have that situation, but there are dangers that come along with it. You think about the blogs, for instance. There's a lot of good that can be done in the blogosphere. I mean, we know about the gospel getting out. in all kinds of ways. You have people having conversations about how to relate Christian truth to everyday realities. I'm looking right now in our studio at two bloggers, Mike Pullman and Matthew Hall, both who work here for the Albert Mueller Program. Both have excellent blogs. I check just about every day. You could link to those from the albertmueller.com links page. I have a blog, henryinstitute.org, that I try to keep up with on a fairly regular basis. But there are also very real dangers out there in using the blogosphere really to get even, to try to settle some scores, to try to get some gossip out there in order to destroy, to tear down. And frankly, there's also an even bigger problem, I think, which is just the destruction of community often. You have people sometimes who would rather chat with some anonymous woman on the internet than to talk to his wife. You have some people who would rather, in not even a sinful way, but would rather innocuously instant message someone from across the room than to walk into the next room and talk to them. I mean, that tells us something about our own hearts and about the way that we really want some distance from one another. But when we're in Christ, there's something new and different that takes place, and that's loving one another, as the Apostle John tells us in 1 John chapter 4, desiring to be with one another. We still need the internet. We still need blogs. We still need commentaries. We still need email. And I have all of those things, and I am not going to get rid of this BlackBerry until they shut the thing down. And they might. They might. And I'm praying that that won't happen. But in the meantime, we also need to learn to live with one another in community, learning to love one another in Christ, and not just sitting in front of a computer screen. In reality, the most dangerous thing that can happen on the internet doesn't have anything to do with pornography, although that's deadly. Sometimes it just has to do with page after page after page after page after page. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mueller. This is the Albert Mueller Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmueller.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmueller.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mueller Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.